If you have been looking for a realistic, true crime experience, you just found it. Get ready for True Crime with Real Detectives on the Murder Police Podcast.
And she went to Louisville. That's where her friend lived. And then she didn't come home that night. And she always, always come home. She never stayed away from home. Like I said, she lived with her grandmother. She knows that her grandmother would worry about her. And she had called my mom the night before and said, "Grandma."
Warning. The podcast you're about to listen to may contain graphic descriptions of violent assaults, murder, and adult language. Listener discretion is advised.
Where is Rhonda Day? Part 1 of 2.
Well, today we are with Destiny and Melissa, so let's introduce everybody. Destiny, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you're related to Rhonda.
Rhonda is my cousin. Her mom is my great aunt. I'm about to be 22.
Gotcha. And Melissa, same.
Hi, David. Nice to be here. I am Rhonda's aunt, and I'm here to try to help find out anything we can and to let you know, Rhonda.
Good deal. I think that's the important part that we're looking forward to do today is I really want the audience to see who Rhonda is, to be able to pray for her, to be able to help look for her, maybe to shake some things loose and bring this to a resolution, hopefully a good resolution, and to keep the word out. Let's start with this. I'm going to open the floor to both of you. Is just tell us who Rhonda is from the youngest ages you all can remember. Destiny, I know that you're just 22, so you won't go back as far as Melissa goes. But tell us about who she is, her passions, her hobbies, her interest, her personality, anything you can think about that would let people know who Rhonda is.
Rhonda is a sweet person that always loved to be with the family, and she loved to take care of my great-grandma when great-grandma is in the hospital. Before Rhonda went missing, Rhonda stayed in the hospital with grandma.
Good deal. Kind of a round-the-clock caretaker. Were they pretty close?
Very close.
Gotcha.
Very close.
Gotcha.
She lived upstairs over top of her grandmother.
Okay, gotcha. And do you know any idea how long she lived with her grandmother? Just roughly?
Oh, many, many years.
Many years, okay.
Yeah, many years. I'd say probably 10 or more.
Gotcha. Well, tell her, okay, so we know that she's close to grandma, and we have to assume that this is really rough on her grandmother, if they were that close.
Very.
It's got to be gruff, and hopefully that's why we want to get answers for this for sure. Tell us a little bit about more who she was. Let's go back. Can we go back to her childhood?
Okay,
Melissa?
That would be, she was a very inquisitive child. She always stopped and smelled every flower, stopped and looked at every bug. And my sisters, they would take their kids out to go for a walk. And the other child, the cousin, she'd be running ahead and Rhonda Faye would be behind. And they would always say, "Come on, Rhonda Faye, slow down, Dana." You know, she just always loved bugs, animals. As a matter of fact, her and my daughter used to play in a creek. And this creek, cows played in it too. And that was just up Rhonda Faye's alley. You know, she's in a creek with animals and she loved it. And that kind of carried on into when she became an adult. She was the type that would pull off the side of the road to take a turtle out of the road.
Gotcha.
You know, she had a very funny sense of humor. When she was real small, I took her to Walmart. There was a Santa Claus there. And I always had nicknames for everybody. And her name is Rhonda Faye, but I called her Faye Ray. And Santa Claus come up and said, "What's your name, young lady?" And she got this little smirk on her face. And I could tell she was going to say something. She knew that would throw the Santa Claus off. She said, "Faye Ray." And she just looked at him like, "What do you think of that name?" And so then also that nickname carried on into when she got married, and she married a man with the last name Day. And she and I would just laugh because her name was Faye Ray Day.
Oh, Lord.
So, yeah. I mean, just stuff like that we laughed about all the time. And I know there was a time when my daughter, that was a humorous side of her. If you want to see her heart, was my daughter had surgery. And if you've ever had anybody that had wounds that had to have a wound vac, they had to have their bandages changed twice a day.
Right.
And after she got out of the hospital, I was going to have to come home from work every day and change her bandages. And Rhonda said, no, Aunt Melissa said, I'm going to come down there and change them while you're at work. And she came down every day, changed Amy's bandages, and took her to the doctor so I wouldn't have to miss work. So mm-hmm. she had an affinity to help.
Gotcha.
You know, I can also, there was this one lady told me about a time that Ron Faye got all her paintbrushes and her paint together, and they took the kids down to the park. Well, there was a time when they had these rocks that you had to paint, and you put dates on them and where you were from, and you hid them, and people would go looking for them. And that they painted a bunch of stuff for the kids, and they hid them, and then they went rock looking, and that they had found a rock from Florida. So that they just found that very interesting that, sure. you know, that they found that. And then, of course, I look around here and we're here at the library. And Rhonda Faye was a very big reader. There was a librarian that told my sister that Rhonda was the most prolific reader that they had ever had. So she was very intelligent. She went to Bernheim one time, took kids, and she was like a tour guide. You know, she would explain everything as they walked, what it was and everything. So she was not only funny, smart, you know, but she just learned to love. I love to learn. My mother told me that Rhonda Faye always took good care of her. And Rhonda Faye worked at a secondhand store. She was always buying things and bringing stuff home to Mom. And she would take Mom to her doctor's appointments. And, you know, they were just really, really close. And my mom also said, we were talking about what if we always do this. What if Rhonda Faye walked through the door? What would we do? And somebody said, well, I think I'd spank her butt. And my mom said, no, you wouldn't, because I'm going to grab a hold of her and I'm going to hug her and never let her go. So you'd have to pry me off of her. That's just how close Mom and Rhonda were.
Yeah.
I know that Rhonda, she had a brother that was 10 years younger than her. And they got into trouble together. But she was kind of responsible for going down the road that they went with Michael.
Gotcha.
And she let him in kind of on the drug scene. And after she disappeared, we found in her Bible, like a prayer list. And one of the things on her prayer list was mamas, babies without mamas. So it's always the downtrodden, those that she felt sorry for. And then she also had a little note that said, God, if this is wrong, I'm sorry. So we've had a lot of wonder what she meant. But I really, really think she had a lot of guilt for Michael going down the road that he went down.
Sure.
And I really do think that she was praying that whatever it takes to get my brother clean, that she was willing. And I don't think it's a matter of coincidence that he signed himself into drug rehab on her birthday, right after she went missing. And thankfully, he's 6 years clean. He is preaching the word of God. He's got a family. So I really think that Rhonda would say it was worth it. Whatever has happened to her.
What a remarkable story.
I think she would say it was worth it.
Yeah, and it sounds like that big heart is probably genuine. Very maternal, very maternal. I just found out this morning that Rhonda used to work for this library system
yes.
here in Bullitt County.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, and here we are. And
yes.
Kind of talk about kismet is the idea that we're actually borrowing a room from them and that she used to work here. When she read, do you have any idea what her biggest interest in reading was?
I know she did read a lot of Stephen King novels, but I think she just loved to read anything.
Right.
Anything. She just loved to read. I think it was maybe it took her to a different place. But then, and it also helped her to learn. You know, you just, if you can delve into reading, you can delve into other life, other, you know, worlds. And she just loved to do that.
And that kind of fits with that interest in things like bugs.
Uh-huh.
I mean, is trying to get as much as you can in that, too. So she's an avid reader. In her sense of humor, what was that like? What do you think her sense of humor circled around the most?
I think she just liked to make people laugh.
She exactly.
probably saying things that would just take somebody off guard.
Gotcha.
Like your brother.
You know.
Huh? Like your brother.
My brother's terrible. But
Can I say something?
Yeah, absolutely.
How my grandma mentioned she loved cat animals. Rhonda never left home without her cat. And also, Rhonda had a cat that my great-grandma loved. You could explain the rest of it.
Rhonda had a cat that was beautiful. It was beautiful. She just brought it in because she always took care of any kind of animal she could find. And my mother fell in love with it. So, of course, she'd wanted it for herself, but she brought it and gave it to my mom. Mm-hmm. And mom still has that cat to this day. And just a thing that Rhonda Faye, if she thought she could make somebody happy, gotcha, that she would do it.
And we'll come back to the cat in a little bit, because that's actually one of the things that makes this whole thing very suspicious,
right,
is that when somebody leaves things that we know that they love and they attend to all the,
yes,
time, but we'll circle back around to that, because that's actually a pretty important part, yes, of Rhonda's story. So growing up and everything, let's go into, you said she had married somebody by the last time of day, and we,
yes,
don't have to really go into that, but so she's been married before.
She's been married twice.
Twice, gotcha. And we don't have to name names, but any children in any of those relationships?
She has one son. He's in his 20s now.
Gotcha.
And she had two grandchildren.
Gotcha. So we talked about the fact she's got a great sense of humor, an avid reader, very curious. What about other hobbies besides reading? Do you remember anything her growing up that she was interested in?
Well, she would bring her nephew to my house to go swimming all the time.
Okay.
And, you know, I had to let her know I don't have to be home. She'd want me to be home. I'd say just bring him.
Gotcha.
And now her nephew has not been swimming again since she left.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah,
I'm trying
to encourage him to come back this summer and go,
yeah,
swimming.
Yeah, there we go again, the impact that these things,
yes,
have on families and people that are close to people. It changes people's lives.
Yes, it does.
And in a very negative way, for sure. How about jobs? Can you remember the first things that she did?
I do know she's waitressed before.
Okay.
And she also, like I said, she worked at old folks' home. She loved old people.
Okay.
You know, she liked to take care of them. So, you know, just listening to even things that I'm saying right now, it's a nurturing kind of.
That's what we keep coming back to.
Yeah, she loved the old people, and she took care of them. And she worked at, like I said, the library, and she also worked at a secondhand store.
Gotcha. And one thing, too, again, we'll keep in the back of our minds, the listeners will, too, is that when we talk about risk factors, is that sometimes when we're nurturing people, we're a little vulnerable. And I don't know if it has anything to do with this case, but we tend to go into gray areas with people because, mm-hmm, we believe more than they do sometimes.
And right.
Yeah. Well, I think, though, to her detriment, she trusted everyone.
There we go.
Yeah. You know, when I think about her disappearance, it probably, if she had run out of gas or something, it wouldn't have been anything for her to just say, okay, come take me to go get gas.
Exactly.
And I think she would trust anybody.
Yeah. Or it's somebody stopping at the side of the road.
Right.
You know, and things,
right,
like that. And we'll get to how that all plays out and how they're, that's one of the many possibilities, I think, in this whole thing that's there. Destiny, can you think back to, at 22, can you think back to the first memories you have of Rhonda and the relationship you all had?
Was it cheesecake she made, like pumpkin cheesecake?
There was some kind of special cheesecake, I think.
She made the best cheesecake,
okay,
ever for Thanksgiving.
There we go.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Everyone loved it. My mom took, was it my mom and Aunt Amy? No, Rhonda and my Aunt Amy made my mom eat cat food.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that was funny. The one time that she tricked my daughter into eating some cat food. And they thought it was funny until my dad made her eat cat food.
Oh.
To show her what it was like. If you can make somebody else do it, but that's just a childhood prank that she thought was funny.
And it was Rhonda had somebody eat cat food?
Yeah, Rhonda Faye had had my daughter, her mother, just eat some cat food.
I had four crazy brothers growing up, and I was in the middle. And that, we might have beat that once or twice, but that's still pretty good. That's there. So that gives me ideas about Wendy. But anyway, when I get back home, maybe we'll try that on her and see how she likes that. Well, let's. Can you think of anything else about her that we needed to know? If we can just touch on the drug use, because that's a risk factor too. I don't want to delve on it. And again, one thing I always like to make sure people understand is that there's nobody or no family that isn't vulnerable to that. And I've experienced it in my family more than once. So we have to understand that we can't look at people differently because of that. And sometimes it's a vulnerability. How was she doing at the time that she disappeared? Pretty much in good shape?
Well, she had gotten clean.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And then I had heard recently that she had gotten back into it.
Gotcha. Okay.
I didn't know a lot of what kind of drug or anything like that, because that was a world that was apart from her family life.
Gotcha.
You know, so we can't, I can't delve a lot into, I know that she started out with marijuana. Mm-hmm. And like I said, then when her brother, he was 10 years younger, when he got to be a teenager, she got him into it.
Gotcha.
But as far as, I think from what I've heard, pills was her go-to
right
drug.
Easy to obtain.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And again, that's important in a case like this, only because if there's a nexus between that, the people listening, we need to talk to people in those communities, in those people to see, because that's where an answer might lie too. Well, let's go and get into that. We're here today because she's missing. And arguably, as the listeners hear you tell the story, it's very suspicious, is that it's mm-hmm. not normal. There's not a lot to it. We've done shows about missing person investigations, and I did tons of those when I was a detective at the police department. And I always we try to educate people on the idea that lots of adults just do leave. Most just have some kind of a circumstance. And what we're always looking for is those handful of things where everybody would agree that, say, this just isn't a case probably where somebody uprooted and changed their life
exactly.
or suffered a traumatic brain injury or mental health mm-hmm. issues. Arguably, there's something fishy about Rhonda going missing. So can you take us back to July of 2018?
Yes. July 28th. Mm-hmm. She was wanting to go visit a childhood friend. It was a cousin of her best friend.
Gotcha.
And she was needed gas money. So she went to my grandmother, who she lived with, and asked to borrow $5 for gas. So we know she didn't have a lot of gas.
That'd be a couple gallons back then.
Right.
Top. Right.
And we even went to the truck stop, and they looked on their film, and she was there getting gas. So we do know that she did get the gas. And she went to Louisville. That's where her friend lived. And then she didn't come home that night. And she always, always come home. She never stayed away from home. Like I said, she lived with her grandmother. She knows that her grandmother would worry about her. And she had called my mom the night before and said, "Grandma, I'm going to be a little bit later than usual. But I'm going to be home." Said, "You can go ahead and lock the door if you need to." And Mom said, "No, I'm going to leave it open for you." Well, so that shows to me that shows intent to come home.
Oh, you know, absolutely.
She was going to yeah. come home.
Right.
And then she didn't come home that night. So my mom called me the very next morning, and she said, "Melissa, how do you report a missing person?" I said, "Well, who's missing?" She said, "Rhonda Faye." Hmm. And I said, mm-hmm. "What do you mean missing?" She said, "Well, she always comes home. She didn't come home last night." So my mom automatically knew something was up, because that wasn't so, it was so out of her character not to come home. So I said, "Well, Mom, she's 42 and she was going to a guy's house. We don't like it if she spent the night, but she's 42. We can't do anything about it."
True.
So we just kind of thought maybe that's what it was. She spent the night with her friend. And when she didn't come home the second night, we reported her missing.
Right.
And my sister and her, Rhonda's brother, Mike, they went to this friend's house. And they asked him if he had seen her or where she was. And he said he had seen her at 5 a.m. that morning in his driveway playing on her iPad. Well, she sometimes did that, sat in her car and played on her iPad.
Sure. Right.
So, but the thing about that, though, too, is at home, her iPad charger and her phone charger were on her bed at home.
Right. That's
so that's another point to me. She planned to come back.
Sure.
You know, or she would have brought her charger if she was planning to go and be gone for a while.
For logistics for the listeners and for our YouTube people, I'll have some maps and some video about what all this looks like. But so she leaves the Lebanon Junction. And what, that's 30 to 40 minutes to
yes.
Maria yes. Anna Drive.
Right.
And also what people might want to understand, I think that we call that area Pleasure-ish Park.
Yes.
Yes.
PRP. I'm an old Louisville
boy. Yeah, PRP.
PRP. And that's roughly southwest of the heart of Louisville, very close to the Ohio River. So
yes.
I'm trying to paint a picture of where that is. So she, and what kind of car did she have again?
She had a blue Chevy Aveo.
Okay.
And it was found just 1.3 miles from her friend's house.
1.3 miles.
Yeah. Okay.
Pretty close.
Yes.
On Cane Run.
Cane Run Road.
Yeah. It, so, and again, just keeping the logistics, we're talking 30, 40 minutes away. couple gallons of gas, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, that would be like 32 gallons of gas. Mm-hmm. But, so a couple gallons of gas. And she goes, and when she visits this friend, again, how long had they known each other and what kind of friendship was it?
From what I know, it was a childhood friend.
Gotcha.
Right.
That her, she was best friends with his cousin.
Okay.
And so they kind of played together as kids, mm-hmm. you know, and then it grew into when they were adults. Now, Mike says that they all partied together.
Okay.
So I would think probably a party friend.
There we go. Somewhere that if we were back to dabbling yes. in that stuff, as you would like yes. us to like, that's why we have to recognize that as a risk factor yes. in here for sure, too. So she goes there, and this may be going past what you have, but he sees her in a driveway. Did he ever mention anybody that you're aware of when she left the door of his house to go to the car?
No, I have not heard that. All I know is he said he saw her sitting in his driveway when he went to let his dog out,
okay.
and that she waved at him.
Wasn't okay.
And then she pulled out of his driveway, is okay. what he says.
So we believe he saw her leave the
yes.
driveway.
Yes, yes. Now, the car was not found until 5 days after.
Right, that was early August.
Yes, yes,
yes.
So I have some question about why none of us saw it or anything mm-hmm. when we went down there.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I don't know.
You know, because on YouTube, I'll put a map and I'll show, because it was in a parking lot of the, there's a refinery, if I remember correctly there. So I'll have those graphics. And that's the thing is, okay, we're talking, I think, August 3rd, it's discovered, is when we look at a case like this, is we have to start wondering, was it always there of right. the day of the missing? And here you go. Now you're saying you all been in that area and didn't see it.
Right. We did not see it.
Exactly. Which is odd, isn't it, Destiny?
Yes.
Is so if we, who knows, is that you've got a series of days in there where that vehicle may have been there. And I've seen a picture of where it was at. It was right off of Cane Run, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
I
yes, mean, it like, was.
You'd from almost hit it.
We did have somebody, though, that did contact us and say,
hey, you know there's more to this story, so go find the next episode and listen.
The Murder Police Podcast is hosted by Wendy and David Lyons and was created to honor the lives of crime victims, so their names are never forgotten. It is produced, recorded, and edited by David Lyons. The Murder Police Podcast can be found on your favorite Apple or Android podcast platform, as well as at murderpolicepodcast.com, where you will find show notes, transcripts, information about our presenters, and a link to the official Murder Police Podcast merch store, where you can purchase a huge variety of Murder Police Podcast swag. We are also on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, which is closed caption for those that are hearing impaired. Just search for the Murder Police Podcast and you will find us. If you have enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe for more and give us 5 stars and a written review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download your podcasts. Make sure you set your player to automatically download new episodes so you get the new ones as soon as they drop. And please tell your friends. Lock it down, Judy.